Hi guys, Murugi Munyi here.
It's Lydia KM.
And we're back again with another episode of
The Messy In Between.
It's definitely TMI.
We just said it's definitely TMI, then I had thunder. Wow. Mm. That's like God saying, it's definitely TMI.
Not
wow.
A coincidence.
Not at all. Oh, no. Definitely intentional. Thank you.
And yes, we accept. Yeah.
When we were shooting the first episode, it wasn't even raining. Now it's raining.
It's
guys.
It's raining so heavily. It looks so dark.
And
it
this is a career we are choosing, by the way. We are choosing to be here when it's raining, when we could be at home in bed.
Yeah. And a lot of us.
We don't get enough credit for this. We don't.
A lot of other people, we know you're working. You're probably watching this at work. It's raining. It's not cozy in the office.
It's really not.
Yeah, we're so sorry. But you know what? It doesn't, we don't know when this is going to stop. So we must actually adjust our mindset to this is how we work. This is life.
I don't like that.
Right?
I don't like
that
at
all. And I was telling Joe about in the UK, there's not only in the UK, but I'm only speaking from the UK. When it's winter, everyone, all we do is hibernate. Eat whatever it is that we want. A lot of people get depressed and like they feel bad because there's not enough sun. All of the things that you take for granted.
Honestly.
The things that you take for granted.
Me, actually, this season has made me so grateful for the work that we do. Mm. The fact that it's just like today. Today is the first. No, actually, this week we've had two shoot days. So there's 2 days we've had to be out of the house. Mm. But literally, because of the work that we do, we don't always have to be out of the house. Mm. I do not feel great for people who have to leave morning to, like, every
traffic day.
It doesn't matter what rain you're finding. Mm. Every day.
I know. Yeah. And there may be people who work like and not necessarily formal work, like, you know, maybe you
like
you sell vegetables or something like that, or hawkers. Like, this is like a really, really crappy time because people aren't necessarily walking out and stopping as much. Like, it's just it's affecting so many people. And as we said before, we're leaving the contacts for any emergencies, if there's any flood emergencies that you have, and some contacts where you'd like, if you'd like to donate to help those who have been adversely affected, who are not in their homes. Everything, we're gonna keep doing this through this season.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you guys. Thank you for clicking onto this video. You know what I was just thinking? I wonder if in this season the rates of people cheating on their partners with someone from work are higher, because like now, you know, it's just kind of like dark in the office, you're all cold.
That's,
you know,
what you thought.
Kinda like, yeah.
Why?
I don't know, just thinking.
Or the way I would think is like it would reduce.
Oh, because you can't,
it's
like
long.
Leave.
Who,
oh,
who
right.
Can be bothered?
Oh,
right now,
yeah,
I'm telling
so
you,
right.
About cheating on someone, I would definitely have changed. Who
really?
Has the energy?
I guess.
Who has
so.
The energy? I've got to get out of my house.
You're right. Yeah, to cheat. You're right. Yeah. As opposed to just having the dick you have at home.
Do you know what I mean?
Honestly.
Just take
the one you have at home. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for clicking onto this video. If you aren't already, please subscribe, guys. It really, really helps out our channel and also gives you more value by, I'm not exactly sure how, but it's just a nice thing to subscribe, guys. Okay. And click the notification bell so you can always know when we upload a new video. Also, follow us on social media, TMI Podcast KE, Murugi Munyi, Lydia KM. Sometimes I wonder if somebody's actually watching these videos and isn't following us. Now, at this point, it's my malicious, it seems.
No, because not everyone is into Instagram like that. A lot of people just like consume long form content. They don't enjoy short form at all.
Really?
I met a creator who she's not as confident in short form content, but she's great with long form.
Her creating or her watching?
Her creating and watching.
Me, what I usually find problematic is like, if you are a fan, and this has happened to me before, like meeting someone and they are so up to date on everything that's happening in my life to a point where I'm like, I'm sure you watch my stories because there are things I only mention on stories, but they're not following me. So to me, that's baffling. It's just so you search to watch my stories, but maybe you don't want it to be like, you don't want actively want to not support me. That's what I always find perplexing.
No, I get it. If you are searching Lydia KM to watch my stories and see, but you're not going to follow me,
that's strange.
Or is it that they like our stories but they don't like our TL?
Oh wow. Or maybe our content is triggering, so they only want to watch it when they have
ready,
the capacity.
Which is fine.
You know what? I hold space for
that.
And that's okay.
I accept.
Thank
that's
you.
Okay.
But that's not you. You go
no,
follow.
No, you absolutely subscribe.
We're not talking to you.
Yeah.
Anyway, today's episode, tell us what we're doing
today. We are talking, we are going to go through your comments after last episode when we read some of the comments from the detoxifying masculinity. We were like, oh, y'all got a lot to say.
Take the mic.
Mm-hmm. So we wanted to go do our episode, which we call the An In-Betweener Once Said. Mm-hmm. So these are some of the comments you guys have said. We don't always get an opportunity to respond, and we love how much you engage with us. So we just wanted to highlight some of the comments that we were just like, okay, this we need to respond to this.
Yeah.
Throughout the episodes over the last month.
Exactly. And the thing is that, guys, we have a social media manager. So, for example, when we are posting, or like when you guys send comments or you send DMs, it's not always us who see them. But for us, it's literally like the most important thing to know what feedback you guys are giving us mm-hmm. from what we say, because our intention is always to have positive impact, whether it's talking about careers or friendships or sex or whatever. And that actually helps us determine what more we need to create content around. For example, if the way we did that episode with Rix and we talked about masculinity, we can already see there's like opportunity for us to do more with that, because a lot of people still were like, there was a lot of back and forth in the comments, and there's still some posts saying no, but this is not actually what it is and whatever. So we know that there's more that we can be doing. Yeah. So be assured, rest assured that we always take our time to go through the comments. We are always discussing between the two of us, like, oh, have you seen the comments from that video? Have you seen these people saying this or whatever? Especially the ones where there's a guest, because I feel like those are the ones, they seem to have like more like comments and things like that. So thank you to everyone who takes the time to give us feedback, whether it is positive or negative. You guys always leave respectful comments.
By the way,
I haven't seen a hateful comment in ages.
You get like a cheeky one here and there, but for the most part, it's a safe space to go in our comments.
It is a safe space, guys. And thank you so much for giving us your feedback. Whether you agree with us or you don't agree with us, it's always really helpful for us to know what you think about the content that we are creating. So keep leaving us some comments. Okay, so I loved the comments on the episode we did about sex myths. That was a educated episode. I love episodes that we do about sex. They always, for us, those are the ones which I always just feel like I know we are making an impact, because show me another podcast that is telling you sex, this is what you should be doing, this is what you shouldn't be doing, this is what is normal, whatever. For me, I always feel like those have huge impact. So let me read one of the comments that stood out for me from that one, and I love this one because it was from a King Betweener called Kidathi. So he said, an easy rule of thumb for men to understand why a woman could be aroused and is not wet is that arousal is mental and it's about wanting to have sex, but a woman requires stimulation through proper foreplay, which is physical, to get her body ready to have sex. Are you following?
We're following. We're together.
In women, arousal and stimulation are two distinct things, while in men, it's one and the same thing. Mm-hmm. Men's bodies are microwaves, whilst a woman's body is like a charcoal jiko. Needs time and preparation, both physical and mental, to get ready for sex. I guess this was the Swahili wisdom of saying mwanaume amepata jiko when he gets a spouse. Mm-hmm. Kazi iwe kuiwasha sasa.
Not Murugi, it's not. Yeah. Murugi is...
So I don't know how I feel about that. While I do agree that yes, men do need to put in effort to do the foreplay, I don't feel like we can say generally all men are like these microwaves and all women, because even some men still need the foreplay. Yeah, for sure. Some women also are just like ready. For
and me, men is mental.
Yeah, I feel like but he's saying for him, once it's already mental, it's already physically, he's ready. That's what he's saying.
Well, no, there's an erectile dysfunction already.
We are saying in generally.
I think generally, men.
Yeah, but for women also, you feel like all women require...
No, I think it's also majority for women. It's that like there can be an easy disconnection with mental and physical. Very easy,
But even for men, can't there also be an easy disconnection between mental and physical?
There can, but the way I'm saying is like, aside from erectile dysfunction, it's like when there's... When the man is ready here, most of the time it's go.
That has not been my experience, honestly. Really? And so I find it difficult to say for most or like in most cases, because it also depends on several things. Mm. For example, have they been together long, or is this a new relationship? Mm-hmm. Are they like, I don't know, is this a person, is like the partner who he's having sex with someone who he's physically attracted to? Do you know what I mean? It's like, I feel like there are so many different things, but I guess I understand where he's coming from, but I would just say not all men, and I would say not all women.
And you would say not even near all.
Yeah, I would not. I would say, in fact, it could be like a 50-50 thing. Exactly, it could be a random thing. I feel like what's more important than saying, okay, men require this and women require this, is, as a rule of thumb, let's all try and do foreplay. I feel like as a rule of thumb, let's all try and do foreplay. And then the most important thing should be like, you should learn your partner. You should know, like, when you're doing something and I can tell, oh, Lydia needs to get in the mood, I know to do X and Y and Z. Or like, yes, I know that for Lydia, it takes some time to whatever. Like, know your partner, read your partner. That's what I would say.
My foreplay for sure is more outside the bedroom. So if someone doesn't get that right, it's like all day, it feels like there's no connection. Then when we get in bed,
So you're saying there can be no physical without the mental.
There can be. Some days it's been. But for majority of the time, it's like mental. The mental works right. And then it will flow in my body. But sometimes it's been like, I'm mentally ready to go. I'm here. But
you need to.
Jockey's
sir.
Like, I'm like, can. You're right.
Tana isn't jockey. My mom isn't jockey. Lydia, I'm going to need you to pick another name, please.
Okay. Little Mary.
That's all right. I'll take that. Thank you. Another comment on that same video was from a lady called Rehab, which I found interesting. She said, one thing that I love about TMI is the confidence I have gained to talk about sex without feeling shame. I used to feel shame on behalf of Lydia and Murugi. I sincerely love you guys.
Oh, it's okay. That makes sense.
It does.
You are feeling ashamed about something and you hear other people not, you project your shame onto them.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, but we're glad you don't feel shame. And also, I don't exactly feel like the bar needs to be, you need to be publicly talking about sex like us. Absolutely not. Mm. But it's just understanding that anything that is like tied with pleasure and then shame, the chances of that thing being harmful is it's easy.
Exactly.
Shame does nothing for anyone. I don't know one good benefit of shame.
Exactly, I agree. And also, I wonder if it's like two men talking about sex, I wonder if it would be the same, that someone would feel shame, like two men talking about sex versus two women talking about sex. I feel like that's a whole other layer that we add to that. But I'm glad. Sometimes I sit and I think, how many other women are out there saying, oh my God, those two women, they're just there talking about sex. How can they have just,
for
what
sure.
is this
Even
generation
sometimes
you
get
coming
comments.
To? Yeah. And like, sometimes I'm just like, wow.
Do we talk about sex like this, this loudly?
Yeah.
But you're the first one at the rally that said, stop the spread of AIDS.
Yeah. And how is AIDS spreading? How?
You know, it's like that for me is what the reason why I talk about sex so openly is because of the way most women, especially most of the time it's women who are suffering and hurting over issues that are tied to conversations around sex, because we don't openly talk about them. It's hard to like now deal with everything else, contraceptive, STIs, teen pregnancy, STDs. It starts where?
It starts there at the sex. Exactly, yeah. And unfortunately, a lot of these things, it's like, it's women, as you said, it's women who will really be suffering. But on our episodes to do with sex, I feel like most times we'll give a disclaimer. Sometimes we might forget to give a disclaimer, but it's normal for it to feel uncomfortable for you. So breathe through it. If you need to keep pausing so that you can now come back later, that is also okay. That's also okay. It's fine. Yeah. We understand.
We do. This same episode, it's called Somebody's Son. I appreciate you girls for your boldness and such such unconventional conversations, but can we also be just as loud when it comes to STDs and HIV awareness, especially given the majority of the target audience are people who are in their 20s? As we said, the way that we do it is like, if we have conversations about sex, then we run through. However, I do think there is a good point, and I think it would be amazing, Nancy, write this down, to have a conversation about STDs and STIs, maybe debunking myths, have a Q&A on Instagram, follow us on Instagram, and have like somebody like a gyna or like a specialist on this. So we'll take that on and we can have one.
We will definitely do that. I feel like right now, if someone comes and asks you, what are some symptoms, or how will you know if you have syphilis?
I don't know how I have syphilis.
How would you know you have gonorrhea?
Gonorrhea has some physical symptoms.
I feel like generally, as a rule of thumb, I just feel like if I feel any kind of discomfort is when I would be like, there's something.
Chlamydia can be asymptomatic for ages on women.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's something about talking about like venereal disease that just sounds so just like, it's such a bummer. You know, it's not as exciting as talking about like, these are the sexual positions or you should do this or whatever. Yeah. But I do recognize that we have a responsibility. Since
I
we talk about sex so much, we definitely have a responsibility.
Yeah, we're going to make that top of mind.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because a lot of people, maybe sometimes, the number of times we get a DM from someone saying that, actually, I've been bleeding for I don't know how many years and they have not thought to go to the gynecologist or have not thought that perhaps this could be an issue. A lot of us could be suffering and we are not sure. maybe even you have two white pimples or something like that. Yeah, definitely. Okay. Another one from that same Sex Myths episode is Flower Power, who, by the way, shout out to Flower Power.
I just saw that. Is there a she?
It's a she. I know her because she's come for both our TMI live experiences.
Oh, Flower.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Always just
you
adding
always
value.
Are on our comments.
Love like, you so
we
much.
Appreciate you so much.
Exactly. So she says there's a difference between penetrative sex with condom versus without, but I don't think it's that big of a difference. I said that in that episode.
I did.
You were like, oh, there's no difference.
No, I said there's just the difference is slight. It's slight enough that we can't be making it this loud.
No, it's not slight. I do, however, think that our culture has created a myth around that difference to make
exactly
it seem bigger than
what I said to you.
Can you shut up? Are you capable of shutting up? Can I finish? Thank you. To make it seem bigger than what it is. And I feel like if you're told it will feel different, you'll probably notice the difference more. I also think our patriarchal society has allowed men to use that as a reasonable excuse for not wanting to wear condoms. I first heard men say this when I became sexually active and I kind of just went with it. I now know it's not an excuse to not have protected sex. Feeling better for a few minutes is not worth the risk when having casual sex. Yes, we absolutely agree. And I agree. I feel like this just has to do with...
I thought you agreed, full stop.
I agree. I'm saying this has to do with... I like the points that you made about like people just need to make peace with the fact that I'm not on contraceptive. This is the contraception we're using. And it doesn't matter how it's going to feel different or whatever. We're using the contraception. I feel like a huge part of the moment, just that exact moment where it's like the decision to wear a condom or not wear a condom, that make or break moment where it's like you've been making out, things are getting hot and whatever, and you don't want to be the one to stop the thing. Yeah. Or he's already kind of feeling like he's just going ahead and you don't want to. Now, it's like, I don't know. I feel like women need to stand up.
Yeah. Oh wow.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, I don't want to make it seem like it's just a woman thing, but I feel like if it's a man I'm trying to say this in a very careful way, but I'll just say that a man in that position who might try to convince you to not wear a condom, it is fully dependent on you to be like absolutely not, and to set that boundary like completely. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Let me tell you, my decisions to have sex with a condom are always prior.
It needs to be prior.
Like when I make that decision that this is something which I'm going to do, then it automatically is like I'm prepared for whatever is going to come, whether it's the awkwardness, whether it's the stop, whether it's the whatever, I'm prepared for it. But trying to make that decision like apple, like, oh, like now you're in foreplay and you're like, you've lost the game.
This is what I'm asking. Before now, once you said you already mentally have decided that you're going to use the condom, do you tell them?
Yeah.
How do you say?
If you're about to come, I'll just be like, let's use a condom.
No, before the sexual experience has started at all. Because
you
said before, you always
decision is already made, but it's like as we are going, obviously I'm not going to be like, first kiss, bring out the condom.
No, but okay, this is my question. Because you see, me, I've not been in these spaces for a very long time. All I want to know is like, if, for example, this person is like, isn't it easier for you to say in advance, like, oh yeah, oh, you know, you're coming over, I hope you have condoms or whatever kind of thing, because then if now it gets to that point of like now the actual penetration is about penetrate, then you say, oh, can we wear a condom? Then he's like, oh yeah, but I didn't think we were going to.
If it's something which I've decided, it's like I'll have the condom. Yeah, it's like something is like you prepare yourself as well. That's another thing.
What
it's
if
like,
he says I didn't think that we were going to, because you know we've been dating and like, you know, we've been together a month
and have we had sex before?
No.
Then why would you assume we're not?
Because now we are exclusive. It's exclusive. Oh. You know how it goes, Lydia.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But that kind of conversation. Oh, I'm standing up.
Oh, you're standing up.
Oh, I'm standing all the way up.
Okay,
if I have, if I feel like there's a reason why I'm doing it, I'm not even back and forthing it.
Mm.
Like I will allow you to have the awkward energy and the awkward face, and I can see you feel like shit. Breathe through it. You're an adult. You can breathe through your emotions. Regulate. Self-regulate.
Yeah, I feel bad for people pleasers in that context, because I can see how that it just ends up being like, oh yeah, but I had really wanted to, you know, use the condom, but it just didn't.
No, I get it. That's like a firm thing to say, and because the expectation is that we are not, right? Because apparently it feels so much better for men, then it's like you're cutting off the current. So it can be awkward and it can be uncomfortable, but there's nothing to do but stand up there.
It's not worth it. Feeling better for a few minutes is not worth the risk when having casual sex. That's what she said, girl.
Stacy K. Kenya is, pardon me, the white form lid is talking about is what we call kutu. Have realized it happens when you're not, when you've not had sex for a minute. That's not true.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, because that would happen like quite consistently when I was consistently having sex.
Oh, me, I still don't know what that is. That we're really? Referring to. Yeah.
It's like foam. And it's like, it comes out on like, you get out and then there's like, it's like white foam.
Maybe that's a personal thing.
Yeah?
Yeah. Maybe that is a personal thing. Jeez. Okay. Someone was saying, Debbie, one thing, you cannot always get pregnant every time you have unprotected sex. I think that one, that's, we all know that. Like, you can't always get pregnant every time you have unprotected sex, which is like, that goes without saying. It's like, you need to have ovulated and there needs to be an egg in your ovary, not in your ovary, in this uterus or whatever, that is ready to be fertilized. So obviously it's not every single time, but the point is that the risk is high enough that do you want to risk? Because sometimes today's a day of ovulation, anything could have happened. I could have ovulated 2 days ago because of whatever reason, or I could have ovulated 2 days ago and now the egg is still in my womb. So do you want to risk? You don't want to
you risk.
Do not.
And funny enough, I have like now a heightened sense of what if I get pregnant. Feel like I'm back into being a teenager.
But you do feel like now it's not as bad though, because I feel like earlier, I feel like when we were teenagers, it was like, what if I get pregnant? This would mean the end of my life. Now you don't think that way.
No.
It's like
now
it would be so inconvenient, wouldn't it?
No. I feel like I would have to have the child. That's the thing.
Oh my God.
That's the thing.
Do I feel
that? Are you holding my hair during an abortion?
Yeah, I am.
At 33, you said you support
even at
abortion.
45, even at 47.
Yeah,
I'm
but for
your
me,
hair.
It's like no. It's like because right now financially I can have a child, so it's like the thing which I used to tell myself then is like no, and that was the thing. That was the top thing. It's like I'm not able to take care of the child or whatever. Those are the reasons you tell yourself. Now, what reason are you telling yourself?
Actually, you're right.
You fucked the wrong nigga.
God.
You fucked the wrong
one. I wasn't going to say that because I'm married, but I was going to say that for me, that thought is scary because I keep saying that I am done having kids, and even if I was to get pregnant, I'm not 100% sure that I would keep it. But the reality is that
you
in my head,
would.
Listen, that's the thing, you see.
You
it's
for
like,
sure
I,
would.
I know that I would, and that's what's scary.
Oh, yeah.
Because now it's just like, now I would have
that's
to have
it.
The baby.
You would definitely
tell
have.
Tell me, how would I stay at Tana and be like, yeah, obviously.
And who's holding your hair?
You, bitch.
Me?
Yes. You would. Yeah,
what?
But it's, I
no,
just feel like,
that
yeah.
No, please, God.
So maybe that's
well, the... stay diligent, baby. Have you gone to
I haven't checked
the measure?
This year. I need to check this year.
Please.
Yeah, okay.
Please. That was
you don't
too
go get checked. You don't go
no,
get
no, no,
checked.
No, I got checked.
Oh
yeah, I got checked
but
in
you know,
Feb.
God says that he wants to move it. May it be moved.
Oh my God. No.
Moved. Yeah.
And
actually, that's
no,
the problem
by the
of
way,
getting older.
You are allowed to have an abortion whenever you want. Well, not legally, but you get my point. Well, not in this country. They won't let you. You know? God. But you get what I mean. So don't feel like what I'm saying has to relate to you.
Yeah.
By the way, there's someone who I know who had who discontinued a pregnancy, and they were married like later on, and because they were going through such a shitty time, and she was like, I cannot bring a
did
child
she tell
to
her
this.
Partner
absolutely no I don't think
and you see that's the problem. It's like getting pregnant right now would be so inconvenient for so many reasons, like
for
so
you
many, yeah,
but the joy of your husband's life. That's the dance, isn't it?
That's the dance. Yeah, I feel like it would be less complicated for you to get pregnant than for me to get pregnant, honestly, yeah.
Said the married mother.
Because I already have 3 kids. Lydia, 4 children.
So why would it be
this is my friend Jo. She has 4 children. Tell me how that sounds in your mouth.
That sounds so cute.
Oh, really, Tase?
So cute.
I would... Oh, my
but
God.
Let me tell you this, yeah, Jo.
Yeah.
I don't want to upset you further, but I fear that I may.
You've already upset me.
I feel like you have another one. I feel like you have another
the
one.
The same way I feel like you have triplets.
Yeah,
exact
no,
same way.
There's something. No, take me seriously.
No.
I don't. Actually have envisioned. I'm so sorry. Like, I just feel like there's
can
another
you guys
one.
Please stop. May, I really
I don't
can't.
Know why.
I really can't. Guys, I'm tired.
I hear you, babe. I do, but I don't know why I'm not seeing you ending it. And I'm seeing you, like, giving in by the end of this year.
Comment below, guys. If you think that I'm going to have a baby by the end of this year, subscribe. Click
yeah,
the
get
like
us
button.
To...
200K and
have
I'll
one.
Have the baby. Promise. I'll do it for y'all. I'll do it for y'all, guys.
Oh, God.
No, please. I don't think I have another, like... No, thank you. Someone said in that same episode, true, we have tried using condoms in a few sex sessions with my husband and it just feels different. It takes time to climax and he feels far from me.
But why? As in, why are you doing it with your husband?
I'm wondering. Maybe because she's not on any other contraception or whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's that.
That's that. Guys, that's that. So these next comments are from our episode with Just Ivy. Mm. I disrespect money when.
Yeah.
So this is Gifty Alpha who's saying, I resonate so much with Murugi's money personality, so much. Mm. I would say money is also a control or power thing for me. Whoever is giving you has some form of control over you. Mm. You're kind of answerable to them. I hate that feeling. I strive so hard to have my own money and I'm happy to show up for others financially. I have something. I always say this. He who feeds the piper dictates the tune. And I just feel like there's some way that when somebody's providing for you, there's some way that they dictate the tune. And there's an element of that I've felt before and I don't enjoy. So I get that aspect of like, there's some level of control. And even it's not control directly, like you must do this thing.
You
it's
just kind of
inferred
feel like...
energy that that person has power over you in that they're providing for you.
You're right. And I see that sometimes with like my sister. So I'm Nelly's guardian, my younger sister. She's 20. And our dynamic is really interesting to me because it's like I'm not her mom, but there are ways in which I have assumed a mom responsibility. So I kind of feel like I'm her mom. But sometimes when we are talking, it's like, oh, we are talking like as sisters. Then at some point it changes based on, like, let's say if she says something. So if she says something which is like maybe sounds a bit reckless or something which is just like, then I'm just like I can say something which I can just tell now the energy has shifted. And even like sometimes, for example, I'll ask her to do something in the house and it's like it's implied, like, of course you can say no, but are you going to, because you're my sister, but are you going to say no because you're kind of my daughter, also kind of, you know, kind of thing. It's just like, yeah. And but one thing I've realized, I talked about this in therapy, because I was like, I was feeling a bit uncomfortable, like I don't know how to navigate this so she doesn't get resentful or don't start feeling like, why are you mothering me and you're not mothering. But at the same time, it's kind of like, if I'm financially responsible for you, like then I feel like I'm responsible for you in all other ways of your life. But anyway, now I just let it be the way that it is, but I'm careful to, like, we keep having conversations so that if like something has happened, it didn't like build in resentment. It's like we can have a conversation about it.
Yeah, that's a dance. When it's you're financially responsible with someone, you do feel a responsibility over them, because that means if you do something reckless, you're in jail. Since I'm financially responsible, so then it's now me, your actions all around kind of become something that I feel like I'm responsible for.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's definitely a thing. I wouldn't like it. And even if somebody loves you deeply, when that dynamic of money is there, there's just something. There's just something. That's something I don't want. By the way, I actually do, despite the fact that I'm indifferent or whatever about money, I really don't. I like being independent. I like taking care of myself. And I've not many years, even into my 20s, where I was dependent. And I don't like that feeling. If anything keeps me working, is that.
You know, if there's anything that gets us here, TMI shoot, when it's raining, it's that.
Yeah.
Same episode, a lady called Rose said, I'm impressed with Murugi's honesty when she said it'll be more detrimental for her for people to think she's poor just because she wasn't able to give the money to a relative, family member, friend who asked for help. So she would better stretch herself and give the money so she can be portrayed as a rich one. Mm. So I think that point maybe was taken out of context. For me, it was not that I want them to think I'm rich. It's that I don't want them to think that I'm selfish, because they have already in their minds, they imagine that I'm rich. So it's like, if you don't give, it's because you're being selfish. It's because you don't want to help. Not necessarily that I want them to keep thinking that I'm rich. It's just that because you already think that, I don't want you to think I'm a bad person, because I really like to be perceived as like a really kind and generous person. And like people are always saying to me, like, you're so generous. Wow, you're so giving. So I mean, the difficulty is in that I want that to still be my persona, as opposed to like, oh, so how can you say that you don't have money, but I saw you going out with your kids on the weekend, but you said you didn't have 1,000 bob to lend me, you know, kind of thing.
But I didn't. I had 10,000 for my kids, but I didn't have 1,000 for you. I see the problem.
I see the issue, right?
That can be with that.
That's the problematic part for me.
Speaking of, so this is something we've been discussing here at TMI, because we're content creators and it's a very known practice that content creators will put down a pay bill or whatever onto like their chat or whatever to tell people to support. Go.
Okay, so And we're talking about this on our IG live, guys. So, and we, and where was it that I saw this? Jules on So This Is Love.
Jules and also Jackie Matubia's Toxic.
It all comes right, up with it a has pay a pay bill. Exactly. And So This Is Love, by the way, is the top podcast, I think, in Kenya. I think last year was the top podcast, most listened to podcast in Kenya. And they have this pay bill where it's just like, if you'd like to support the podcast, you can send money to this pay bill. But for some reason, as we've been discussing it as women here in TMI, and by us, I mean me, Lydia, Nancy.
Names, why?
Yeah. And Nancy, who is not pictured here, but we can insert a picture of her here so you can see who we are referring to.
This
okay?
one.
This one. This one is Nancy here. Yeah. They're like, no, that gives like broke energy kind of to ask people. Because it's like, it shows people that you need their money. Like, we need money.
That is definitely not the way the conversation went.
Isn't it?
So first of this, when we presented to Nancy's face.
She sneered
at us.
Like, she had just smelled someone's
literally. I was like, first of all, I thought this was a safe space. That's
apparently
one.
Not.
Apparently not. And then we were just like, what is it? Because technically, it's like, it's on a support basis. You're not demanding people's money, right? But there's some element now from what the conversation, what the lady just said about wanting to seem rich, is that the second you put out there that people can contribute or that people can give you money, it's you project that you're seen to not have, and that makes people uncomfortable because people don't ever want to seem like they don't have. Why is that?
When in reality, obviously, we are all working because we need money. Obviously, there was even a meme.
So the truth is, we don't have enough.
Like,
none of us.
Yeah, none of us have enough. Like, is it? I mean, I don't know. Maybe actually, for me, it's less about like being seen as like we need money too, and more of the previous point which you've talked about, for having power. Maybe if people are contributing towards or like giving support, they'll feel more of like a we own this channel, or like we're the ones keeping the lights on at TMI.
So it's a power thing for
you. It could also be a power thing. Yeah. And you keep saying this. Remember that time, I don't know which creator it was who had said, like they had put something on their channel, like, oh, if it wasn't for you guys are the ones who have put me here. I'm the one who, and you are like, no, but also you are the one who has put you here.
It's like an us exchange. Being here, it's like you're here because you love the content.
Exactly. And because we, like, it's our talent and our ability to create this content that has gotten us to, so sorry, Paul, that has gotten us to where we are. And also the support of our fans and whatever. Mm. So if it now the balance shifts to like, actually the fans are the ones keeping the lights on at TMI. What does that say? How does that change the dynamic?
And is that how do you feel? Like, that is actually truly how anyone would feel?
I don't know. You say, I really can't tell. I don't know.
Yeah,
because you
say, also another thing for me is that I feel like if people are supporting your content, it's like there's some level of how then you spend the money that won't feel as free.
You see,
now I'm just like, the are way you I buying blow
cookies?
Money.
Are you buying cookies? Because we just bought.
That's the thing. Then it'd be like, did we not just blow like how much ILC work?
How many t-shirts will I be buying? Yeah.
So that's where the. And I don't.
And then
that.
If we go on holiday, you see, like now we're planning a holiday
holiday.
Now will somebody be able to be like, wait, so this money we contributed for you guys. But it's different because this one is support. It's not like only fans. It's not like you can only watch if.
Not payment. So that's the dance we're going on, guys. So as you can see, it's just something like we are not sure exactly how to go about it because it does make sense because a podcast, by the way, God is great that we've been able to like constantly keep the lights on because of the sponsors that we have. And you guys, by the way, you support the content that we have even when it's sponsored. So then now we're able to have more.
And even YouTube views pay
YouTube
us.
YouTube views though, as even...
Long story, but
long
anyway,
story.
There's money we receive from views, so that also helps. So you're technically supporting
you're
by
still
watching,
supporting,
yeah.
But that's like we're not sure. Mm. It's just something which is money stuff. It's touchy.
And then this is another thing. Now look, now you see, there are so many things here. There are certain kinds of. First of all, would you do this for your own personal page, Lydia KM? Stories, because you've seen people do that. Ivy does that for Money Monday.
But
she used to, but
she
didn't do it anymore.
Yeah,
but she did do that, and it's like you're providing value. So it's like if you've seen value, would you put it on?
I had such a hard time just charging for like the monthly check-ins, but I got over that, and I started seeing that if I'm giving value, I need to get value in return. But I don't know why I wouldn't.
Why?
I don't know. I'll unpack that in therapy.
So
I swear, I'll report back.
Let's ask ourselves also. based off of our from the people we've met at TMI Lives, right? And like just like our audience base, and how they view us. A lot of them are like much younger than us. Well, not let me not say much younger, but like younger. A lot of the people were like in their 20s, late teens kind of thing. If you were following a podcast that you really, really admire these people, and like maybe in your heads you see them as these wealthy, you know, really made it, really knowing stuff, and they came and they put a pay bill, would you send money to a pay bill, that to a whatever?
I've
think
never
of an international
sent.
Podcast. Think of a Receipts podcast, or what's the one for my sister, to my sister's podcast. If they put, would you send?
I've never sent.
Would it seem strange to you, or feel strange to you, for them to put?
I don't think so. There's no one who I think it's strange. Oh, but here's the thing, yeah, guys. Do you think we are projecting what we would think of other people onto you? Because where are these ideas coming from? These are projections.
They're not projections, because it's like real life. Okay, let me say.
Who's real life?
Okay, wait, let me say. For me, I'm just thinking now actively. Like, if for the To My Sister's podcast, right now, if they were to put like a pay bill, of course they wouldn't, because do they have pay bill in Ghana? But anyway, if they were to put one, my first thought would be, don't you guys make like a shit ton of money from like views and your tours? And like, you guys were just in London the other day and you have like a book.
There you go.
So don't you
so
have a lot of money?
First, though. Yeah. So these are projections of what we think would happen based on what we have, our ideas, when we see other people.
Okay, tell us, guys. Do you think it's tacky, or you don't think it's tacky? Just give us. Tell us.
just
scare me, buyer. Be honest.
The same way, poverty is such a big deal here, because there is poverty. The difference between those who are making and those who are not is a big one. There's a massive gap. And the smaller the gap, the less people like size each other up like that. But now, because it's so big, it's like there's the haves and the have-nots.
Yeah.
So everyone wants to be on this side. And anything that insinuates you're on the other side becomes a problem.
Also, because I feel like there's also like a certain attitude towards influencers and content creators in general. The things that people say, even though it's reduced, but like, oh, like you're earning money just from what? Just from talking.
Like you're just doing nothing.
So it's just like, oh, you're doing that and you want us to pay you. People are going hard at work. You're just coming to sit here to talk to a mic and then you want us to pay you. But we could be projecting.
We could be projecting.
So please tell us in the comments, guys. We actually want to know. We are very interested in knowing what people's views about that are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was mine.
That was yours. Okay, fine.
Gladys Mwangi is saying, thank God I watched this when I had left my long-term relationship that I had been funding. I used to feel guilty that I left him because he is broke, but now I wish I had left sooner. The things I have done were paying for a whole trip last year in December to Diani. This guy didn't pay for anything. Quote, don't ever show a man you can, because you will continue to can.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. By the way, one of the things we were dragged about is perpetuating like toxic masculinity. This idea that, you know, if a man is broke, or if a man isn't earning for this level of better, which is what we said now that we all wanted, that was causing this pressure around men to provide and all of these things. So then, you know, this creator went on to say that this is the reasons why men are hurting themselves. And I don't wholeheartedly disagree that when we say that, you know, I want a man who provides more than me, or I don't want a broke man, then that then creates this pressure where a man doesn't feel like a man unless he is. And then, of course, the truth is there's many men who are not as rich or whatever. So I see where that was coming from. It was exaggerated, but I see.
I also see where it was coming from. But I also feel like there's a difference between like a man is not rich versus he's like a broke man. For example, if you're telling me that we're taking a trip to Diani, if you cannot pay for anything, Lydia, anything, even like drinks, like to be like, okay, fine, this night I'm just going to be able to cover dinner. I'll just cover dinner. For me, honestly, I just feel like, I don't know. I just feel like,
And for me, let me tell you something which I've always been clear about. Somebody who needs to be able to financially take care of or themselves.
Yeah, not me.
That needs to be that is a big one. So then a situation where it's like you're paying for everything, then that means that person is not necessarily able to cater to themselves in that situation. That is a big problem.
Yeah.
Because I feel like as adults, we always need to feel like responsible for ourselves, unless we have discussed that I got you.
Yeah.
But it sounds like they had.
But and this is the thing, it's like if your guy says that, so it's the choice, it's a choice between you guys go to Diani and you pay, or you guys don't go to Diani.
Yeah.
Or you go to Diani by yourself.
Yeah, I know.
So are you going? Me, I feel like I would respect a guy who's able to be like, oh, you know, I know we had discussed about going to Diani, but honestly, I don't think I'm financially able to do that right now. Can we do something else? Like drive to Karatina and spend the night at my mom's place.
Not my mom's.
Yeah.
Not my mom's. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, we don't want to be seen ever making it seem like the value of a man only inherently stems on him providing for you, especially.
Yeah.
So yeah, but yeah, hey, that guy drugged us. Truly drugged us.
Yeah. But you see, in that episode with what's his name? With Riggs, you are saying the same thing. It's like, in general, we know the principle is that we want a man to feel like a man, regardless of whether he has money, whether he's providing, he's protecting, whatever.
Spent, yeah.
But it's difficult when now it's like how that now comes into your home. Now 100%. Your man is now not providing.
Now your man has redefined.
No, my man is a senior manager. My man is okay.
His masculinity. Yeah. He wants to be the nurturer. The issue.
Oh, right. Exactly.
Yeah, so that's it. Because that's the issue, now the dynamic, yeah. as there's a really good point that was made on the last episode, and in between I once said, where they said that it's the reason why I'm controlling the definition of masculinity for you is because of how what that means to me.
And how that impacts my life. Me? Absolutely.
Guys, we need to go through more. Joe, hurry up.
I'm so sorry. Okay, fine. A lot of point in that episode, but they said that just Ivy should come back and do a money-based dilemma episode. And I think that would be really, really nice.
Yes.
Because a lot of our dilemmas are usually like relationships, but a money-specific one would be really nice. Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. So this is from the episode. Dating. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Being a single lady, never dated, very financially stable, and I own my own house in a gated community, I can't imagine sharing my beautiful space with a man with all the inconveniences that would come with that. That is really interesting. I wanted to highlight that because I want to go on record appreciating the value of relationships. Because for whatever reason, it seems to be either your single, happy relationships are like such an inconvenience. Men are so yuck. Oh my God, I would rather be alone than in a toxic relationship. Why are those the only options?
Yeah.
Why are those the only options? And I personally feel like in the grand scheme of things, the truth is, despite the fact that we were born alone, we are people who are born to connect. Like, that's just how we relate with each other. We are connected. So that want for connection is always there. However, if you're going to be single and you don't want any convenience of a man, I think it's amazing to just decide to be alone, but not from the perspective of being blind about what a wonderful, happy, and healthy relationship could do for you. And I speak from somebody who has been a beneficiary of being loved in a way that made me come into my own in a bigger way. Love can be powerful to help you grow, to help you self-actualize. A healthy relationship can help you just be the best of yourself. There's so much value in partnerships. Let me also tell you something. Something recently that I have realized, because in the last 5 months, I have broken my leg.
Oh,
and I have lost someone who was very dear to me. And in those months, there's plenty of moments where an anchor in a form of a partnership would have been so much value.
Yeah, so much value. Yeah.
Me, I know how to leave. I'm not going to be in a relationship toxic, that doesn't serve me at all. But that courage does not negate the fact that I can see the value of what a good relationship can do, because I have seen what it could do for me.
And also I would imagine, like, I mean, they should saying that it would be inconveniencing sometimes, maybe to have someone in your space, sharing your space, but are we not thinking about the positive things of being in a relationship, the companionship, the company that you have, like the sex, the, I don't know, you guys are just like together, you're a team and things like that. So there's definitely a positive side to it. And that's the reason why people end up living together and end up getting married, because it was all that negative stuff. No one would ever.
But that's it. I feel like there's too much noise or negativity around relationships.
Maybe it's easy easier that way. Yeah? Because that way then, if you're not in a relationship, it's easy for you to feel like, ah, there's nothing I'm missing out on. Because if you keep thinking about this amazing thing I'm missing out on, it can feel really bad.
But so maybe some people... I think it's a healthy balance, because I can recognize the value of a relationship and the value of a good man. Mm. And also say that I have the courage to step away if it's not that at some point, you know? Mm. I feel like there's a healthy balance. And sometimes I feel like maybe this push for like single and all of that sometimes is keeping people from some of the best connections, you know, some of like the most beautiful relationships, because it's being marketed from this perspective of like, it's either you're single and free or in a relationship in bondage, hating life. But I don't think that's true. There's so many options
in between
those two.
Absolutely, I agree. That same episode, someone came for me and she was like, is it just me or I feel like Murugi is always targeting Lydia for things that she thinks Lydia should have, should in quotes. Mm-hmm. Lydia is so mature and has grown and I love to see that about her. What have I ever targeted you for?
I saw that comment and I was just like, what do you say that I should have?
That's what I'm wondering.
I don't think so.
I'm not sure.
I feel like I tend, even randomly, if someone says I should, even when you say you should, I'm like, who
you're always
you
like you, exactly.
That should
is
like, huh? Let me also make this comment. A lot of times, like there's even comments I see, like something I've apparently been malicious to you, I'm doing, you know, these funny, catty things between us.
Yeah.
You never see shit like this on something like Man Talk.
True.
It's never like it can't be like, oh, that's interesting that Murugi said that. It needs to be Murugi against Lydia, or like when Lydia says this or Lydia looks at Murugi, like it always seems to be there must be like some battle between us. And I want to tell you guys, you're actually dreaming. Yeah. I know you, that would be like the fantasy that you would like, but I think we are courageous enough that we table so much.
Exactly.
We table so much. And maybe sometimes it's like, oh, Lydia took a tone, but it doesn't have to be a tone against Murugi. It could be
is she having a bad day? Generally,
or,
exactly.
You know, there's a myriad of reasons why maybe someone says or does something that doesn't have to do with our dynamic,
exactly,
you know?
Yeah.
And you guys try it.
You're always trying it. Sometimes I will literally roll my eyes and just be like, really?
But you know, sometimes you see under those comments who are just like BFFR.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Other people are laughing at you because you're really reaching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like even just like seeing our personalities, me, I'm not the kind to suffer in silence. If Lydia says something that annoys me, afterwards I'll just be like, babe, why did you say that?
Yeah.
Or like whatever. It's like, it just would, like, why would I just sit and suffer in silence?
Yeah.
Why would you? You wouldn't.
And if you're going to say something, say from a place of like, okay, maybe it's something that we are not aware of. Maybe I do say, or she does say, like, Lydia should have, but what are you talking about?
Yeah. Be specific. Thank you.
Oh, somebody said in that same comment, why are you not singing It's Definitely TMI? Now there goes one of my underrated pleasures of life. A few people told us to come back to singing. But guys, we've been bullied.
Yeah,
we've been bullied into submission.
That it was immature, it didn't sound nice, it was not good. So then there we are.
I'm so sorry.
So another comment from that same episode. So we had spoken a bit about how like finding a life partner earlier in your 20s or like before you turn 25 is that it does not always end in a rosy manner. So someone commented and said, Shiv and Shiko met in their 20s and it still worked. So did most of our parents. You can meet the love of your life at 21. There's no age limit. Yeah, there's no age limit for finding a lifetime partner. It just takes a lot of work and understanding each other.
There are many, many people who met early on.
I would not use our parents as the benchmark, because a lot of our parents stayed in unhealthy, toxic relationships because it was frowned upon to leave.
Yeah.
Lydia's mom is literally one of the few that we can point to and be like, wow, you left.
Yeah.
I don't think your mom even realizes what that was revolutionary.
Oh, I feel like she does, because she got a lot of shit.
Oh, really?
She got a lot of shit from just about everyone. That was 1999.
Yeah, I can't even imagine.
Who the hell do you think you are?
Revolutionary. A lot of parents, our parents' age, people were just not leaving.
Yeah.
They were staying. And that's why now people of our age, some of us who have learned, we are like, no, we are not staying in a toxic relationship. But some people are still repeating the mistakes of our parents and really unfortunate for them.
Mm-hmm.
The point that we made about people below the age of 25, I don't think it was that it cannot work.
Mm-mm.
I think it was just a matter of like the older you are, the more you know yourself, the more you are certain about what you know, what you like, what you don't like, what you want, what you don't want. And literally research has shown that before the age of 25, your frontal lobe has not even fully developed.
Mm.
So some of the decisions that you think that you're just like so certain about, sometimes you're not that certain. That being said, you could also make a bad life partner choice at 35.
Oh,
it
many.
Could also be at 50.
Many.
All right. So for us, it was more of just like, wouldn't you rather do it at a time when you I don't know, have matured or developed further. Something to that regard, right?
100%. This for the next episode. Is this micro cheating?
Yes.
So somebody said, would you mind having Maurice Methaka, the sexologist? It could be an exciting episode. I think it's amazing.
Nancy, write that. Obgain Maurice Methaka. Yes. About cheating, it's rampant. I personally turn down more married men than single ones. And running into people's husbands on dating sites is what got me to leave dating sites. I am not saying there are no good men. I'm saying majority are vile and don't even think they are. Oh, my God.
Lord above. Someone said, I totally understand when Lit says about insecurity. Like, literally, you're in the office. Maybe something popped up and you had to extend a few minutes, but you have to send them pictures for them to believe you're in the office or any other place. If it's maybe 6 or 7 and you're not in the house yet. Wangu Adi Alieka WhatsApp yangu kwa simu yake to monitor who I talk to. I lost weight up to 46 kg because I was drained. I think I've read this comment before sometime. But I think myself, I left a few months later. I'm happy, no stress, and I'm at 54 kg.
Yeah, I remember you reading that.
Yeah, this was about someone controlling you. Was that about micro-cheating?
I think it was micro-cheating.
Yeah, Nance?
But talking to people, sending... Was it about micro-cheating? Anyway, that's under the video on micro-cheating, right?
I believe so.
Oh, okay, fine.
Yeah.
How do you feel about this? Someone saying, I feel like the chances of a woman staying unmarried after they hit 30 are very high because they are too aware.
I mean, that's not the reason. I feel like, number one, there's a financial dynamic, which, by the way, I've seen. When we're in your 20s, all of us are kind of like, whatever. We are all silly and stupid and broke. Yeah. But when you're in your 30s, you're a bit more stable. So the partner you're looking for from that perspective already is different. It's just different. And by the way, I can tell you that Bumble, we are not on Bumble alone. We are not on Bumble alone. There's plenty of men who are single.
There are others there among you.
Because even as a man gets older, what he wants in a woman is also very different. So actually, I would encourage people to just, I'm not going to say like be dumb and just get with whoever. But when you're younger, it's like, it's just, you're not thinking about so many things when you're dating. It's a lot easier from that perspective for both people, men and women alike. Because one of the things which the people who I've talked to a few times, they say is that women nowadays is like relationships are transactional. You're rich, let's have sex, give me money. Like, that's really the intensity. When you are younger, you're not even really thinking so deeply about the qualities of the mother of my child and stuff. So now it's just like the what you want is just different in your 30s, and you value yourself a lot more. So who you give yourself to, you're thinking a bit more about. So it's like that, but it's for everyone.
Yeah
It's a myth, by the way, that it's just like women who are single. Oh my God.
I don't even know. I feel like dating in this era, maybe just because of like the narrative around like men and what men are doing. And it's like, if you're meeting a man in his 30s now, a man who's 35, likelihood of him not having kids or not having entanglement. Really?
That's something which is like, because the landscape is changing, that's what we used to believe. That a man like now in his 30s, he needs to have children.
How can you not?
You will find people 40 years old and they're not looking for anything serious.
They're not ready to commit.
Married never, and they're not ready to they need to have time to. And it's shifted my views of how life should be. It's not everyone who you think at it. They're 35 now, they're
actually, you're the one who has changed my opinion of that, because I just remember being in my 20s and just thinking, now a man, in fact, I remember when I was 25, when I met Zach and he was just about turning 33. And I was just like, this is so strange. A man who's like in his early 30s and he's like, he's not married, he didn't have kids. Like, are you serious? That was strange. But now watching you actually have changed a lot of what I used to believe about like men in their 30s. Because every time I'm just like, you're going on another date. Who are these men who don't have kids and aren't married? Or I'm just thinking, were they already married and they were divorced or what? But like, turns out, no.
Nope.
Yeah.
And some of them are not, they're looking for something casual. Guys, he's 38. He's looking for something casual.
Wow. That's lovely. Yeah, but anyway, you're right. And I think just the same way women are getting married later and later because they want to secure themselves financially, men too, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like they also want to be like set financially by the time they're getting a woman on board.
They do, yeah. And also they want a woman who's like got their, some a woman who they can think like. Mm. Whereas a man who are in their like younger, they're not really thinking about like, is she, does she have vision and stuff? You just
does
become,
she have vision?
Does she have vision? No, there's nothing like
they
that.
They don't care about that, girl. Yeah. Okay, this is from the episode of What's Your Opinion On? And there's a lady called Josie who gave us a comment. She said, I'm in a 30-year age gap relationship. 30-year age gap. How old are you now? Your man
so
is 63.
60 and 30.
Mm-hmm.
Bro.
And I know, quite crazy and controversial, but my hot take is that there are no rules to do life. Do what truly makes you happy. So she's saying that she's the 60-year-old is making her happy. Anyway, my partner and I are aware of the challenges we will face in the future when he's in his 60s and when he's in his 70s and I'm nowhere close. We've had raw and open conversations about it. Our values align and we just get each other. And I agree with Lydia, being with a way older partner definitely ages you. But we have boundaries and I'm aware he can't be going clubbing with me and I don't join him for his old boring stuff. We do our age appropriate things separately and meet at home later. We have found a balance where I compromise and he does as well.
I love that for you. Yeah, I love it. That is not something I'm willing to compromise on.
I feel like my age is now, I need to look at my own prejudices because my instant thought is that, are you with a 60-year-old person or is there, actually we don't know, maybe she's in her 20s and he's in his 50s. Is it because you have been unable to find someone your age? And I'm not saying that's my question to you, but because that was the first thought that came into my head, I need to check my prejudices because why is that my assumption? That the only reason you'd be dating someone 30 years older than you is because you can't find somebody who's closer to your age who you're willing to be in a relationship with.
I also find it so scary when it's like you, like 30 years younger, like that's what, why do you want to be with someone who's 30 years younger than you? I want to assess that more than the older.
All right.
I want to assess that because my sister comes to me. My sister is turning 30 and she's with a 60-year-old. I want to know what is going
like,
on
mentally,
with you.
How, yeah.
What is going on with you that you feel like you can mentally align with a 30-year-old? Yeah, what's happening? Why? What are you
knees.
Getting?
Oh my God, did you hear his knees crack?
Are you 30? Because it's showing.
Sir! So, from in that episode of what's ladies, what's your opinion on? There was someone who said something about adoption. I don't even remember of this lady who said that she knows her man is adopted, but she
so
doesn't
controversial
know.
Controversial,
yeah, really
people.
Controversial. Yeah. So these are some of the comments that came from it. Someone said, "I really think the adoption issue." Okay, for those who haven't watched the episode, just go watch the episode. But basically, this woman knew that her partner was adopted, but he is not the one who told her. So he doesn't know that she knows that he's adopted.
But we don't know if he knows that he's adopted.
I think he knows he's adopted.
He did know.
It's just that he hadn't told her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so someone said, I really think the adoption issue is very, very important because why wouldn't someone tell you they were adopted and they want to marry you? Genetics, family history, etc. does matter. But does it really? Because now, are you going to be like, oh, now that you're adopted,
and
now
also,
I don't know about your genetics. Like,
and what's
really?
It? Let's go find your real parents. Yeah. How do you know that somebody wants to do that?
You don't know. So I feel like, no.
And many people don't even know who their dad is. No, you think you know. You think you know who your dad is.
Lydia, please.
You think you know. So you think you're tabling here. Your
I
dad
look
is
like
your uncle from
Lydia,
down the road.
I look like him.
Do you or do you know his brother?
I hate you so much.
No, I
don't like you.
We tend to like to assume you know everything. You don't.
True.
Many people find out who their dad is when they go to get a blood test and no parent can give them blood. How? What's happened?
Oh, yeah. How come?
What's gone?
Maybe
what's
the
gone?
Blood changed.
Mm? Maybe the blood
That's
changed.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else said, the issue on adoption, I would definitely tell the man it would really itch me because of hereditary disorders, majorly about health that would affect the relationship and the family we want to establish. Plus, I think it would pain the man more to know that I knew and I didn't feel the need to share. It's a whole different case if the man knows. I'd totally respect that. But now the only way for us to know whether he knows is to tell him.
Yeah. You guys are playing with people's lives. Like, that is too important of a thing to make it about you. How has this become about them and them knowing about hereditary issues?
Yeah, exactly.
Where this is someone who's been adopted and maybe they don't know how you're going to react. You don't know. There's a million reasons why somebody would want to tell you that. Or maybe he doesn't know. You want to shake that table. No. I feel like in that bit, what I'm thinking most is how he's going to be. Because this is something that's big to him. There's something that's personal to him. And the way I'm going to deal with it is from a place of I'm trying my best to not make this a fucked up situation. But you guys are thinking about yourselves. Okay.
Honestly,
that's so interesting to me.
Someone who's adopted said, I'm adopted, so here are my thoughts. It depends on what kind of adoption you're talking about. But either way, please let him know as soon as possible.
What do you mean? What kind of adoption you're talking about?
Like, was he stolen from a hospital? Was he like actually adopted from like a children's home? Or did his birth parents leave him in a dustbin? I don't know. Maybe there's different kinds, y'all.
Wow, interesting. I wish you told us what different kinds you meant.
Yeah.
From that same episode, somebody said, hey, girls, I'm really loving the episode. On the topic of abortions, we can't underestimate the entanglement that is religion and the state. Political leaders are more likely to support laws that align with their own belief system. Sometimes we forget that our religions may stop us from doing certain things, but we have no right to force people who don't believe the same to not do those things. Quote, you can't do something because my religion said so. It's crazy. I agree as well. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, but also now the fact is that Kenya is a Christian state.
Yeah.
So it's not secular.
So, and they don't respect that Kenya as a state tend to not respect majority of other faiths as far as how they reflect those views in law. That's the difference. Because there are many other places where that is they are a Christian country per se, but there's like more freedom for other people and their laws are reflected. Mm.
On that same episode, we talked about cohabitation and cohabitation with regards to marriage. Mm-hmm. So someone responded and said, on what Lydia is talking about, there's something called the principle of presumption of marriage. Mm-hmm. The popular case of Hortensia Yahweh versus public trustee lays down the nitty-gritties for that. The law doesn't automatically presume that you are married, and that's why the parties need to prove that they intended to be married. So that's, for example, if like someone dies and you're trying to be like, yeah, I'm supposed to get his land because we were married. ETC, it normally comes up during succession mainly, and it's not a good place to be. The courts are starting to be very skeptical on marriage by cohabitation. So girl, just go get legally hitched or traditionally instead of being eternally a cohabitee. It's a dangerous place to be. And that's on pure, and that's what I've been saying.
There's somebody also said the same thing, that last year in January, the Supreme Court of Kenya passed a ruling on cohabiting. The court said cohabiting is no marriage, even if the partners have lived together for decades. This ruling helps in the event of death when unknown families come out claiming to succeed the deceased. So the ruling outlines that a cohabiting partner cannot succeed the other. Then somebody said, if you don't have, like, that's very correct. If you don't have a marriage certificate, you don't have any rights over your, quote, husband or his properties.
Oh my God.
So there goes that.
There goes that. Ain't nothing else we can say. So there's something we spoke about on that episode with regards to cancel culture. Someone had this comment and they said, I'm on board with cancel culture too. If I find out a friend supports something awful, like turning a blind eye to what's happening in Palestine, then I'll distance myself from them. I mean, why stick around with someone who's okay with genocide, GBV, racism, etc, right? And I'll also boycott companies like Coca-Cola and McDonald's as they are directly and openly funding Israel. It's not about being radical. It's about standing up for what's right and not supporting things that cause real harm, like trauma and even death. So yeah, count me in for cancel culture.
Alrighty.
She said what she said. I feel like I would take a more empathetic stance, and I wouldn't just assume that because, like, now I'm
someone
like,
is not proactively.
Yeah, and I'm like, if I see you now drinking a soda, I'm actually like canceling you because I've seen you drinking a soda. Like, I'm not going to. I mean, it just feels like too hard and fast to have a rule like that.
Yeah. However, there's some, like, I can be pretty severe about some things which I support, especially when it comes to like people being hurt. And I could foresee being somebody who would have a conversation with a friend if it was something that was like serious, right? But not from a place of judging them, from a place of trying to get them to understand why this thing is this way versus you are already terrible that you're not doing this the way I'm doing it. And how can you? No, maybe not that way, but I would want to see, like, is there something you're missing that I can show you why this is like really serious and terrible and harmful? More from that perspective.
More from that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, then this one was about, we all have that one friend that, and this is a, I think this is a top comment, which was like this was really debated with. If you can't afford a party, don't have it. I won't invite people to my birthday and expect them to pay unless if they want extra things not catered for. I am also not expecting anyone to invite me to their birthday party and expect me to pay. It's giving, living beyond your means, I beg.
But what we said is that there's a difference between inviting people to your party and inviting people to dinner. That's what we said. Me, I said, yeah. I feel like that one is different. It's just like if we are all invited to a dinner celebrating Lydia, am I expecting Lydia to pay?
Yeah. Okay. And somebody said, as a person who currently resides in diaspora, it's just the culture here that people are expected to pay for their own food and drinks when invited to a restaurant for a birthday party. Personally, I think it's important that people know that in advance, they will pay for food and drinks either. Like, I don't even know what world I'm in, but I guess you just said maybe I'm coming from a privileged point of view, whereas I would go, when I go to my friend's party, first of all, when I even leave my house, I'm preempting that I'm going to cater for whatever it is that I come
across,
into,
yes.
Right? And so if it's someone's party, it's like, if I go, if it's paid for, fantastic. If it's not paid for and we need to pay for our food and drinks, also fantastic. Like, to me, it makes absolutely no difference. And if, let's say, even if a friend was like, oh, I really wanted to have a party, or I wanted to do things, bring your own drinks, or things that say support the situation so that I don't cater for everyone, I'm more than willing to do it. But majority of the people, let me just speak from the comments, majority of the people are like, absolutely not.
Yeah, for me, it was definitely a difference between I've been invited to someone's, it's like, for example, it's like at a venue, party. A house party, it's like at a venue, let's say it's at your place, and you have catering and what. I'm not expecting for you to be like, okay, everyone is removing a thousand. That one is different versus we have gone to dinner and it's like we're ordering a la carte, for example. I don't imagine you're paying for my a la carte dinner and my four cocktails that I've had. Like,
yeah,
what?
I don't. Let me tell you, the whole like living above your means, I think that that's a really interesting way to put it. The way I see it is that through life, maybe that person is staying consistently in their means.
Yeah.
But we all have desires beyond our means. Let's be clear on that. We all have desires beyond our means. Mm. And if you have friends around you who is like, you really want to have this party, you've had a long year or whatever like that, and you would like to have your friends gather and have dinner, but you can't afford to pay for all of them, you're allowed that.
Yeah, but you need to say. And that's what I think I said in that episode is like, you need to say.
How we should say it. Somebody said, oh gosh, the way that we should say it.
Yeah, because we really tried to say exactly. Me, I think I would just
this is not catered, or it's self-pay, something.
Yeah, self-catered or self-pay,
this is a self-funded, this party is self-funded, so come prepared.
You know, because when I say this party is self-funded, it sounds like it's me who is funding it.
It's not self-funded.
What?
They said something, I'm so sorry. I skipped your comment. I can't see.
No, but I just feel like, in fact, maybe in the invite, you'll just be like, oh, on average, you can expect to spend probably 2,000 on food and about 1,000 per drink, depending on how many drinks you have. See you guys there. Oh my God. I just don't feel like I would go through these issues with my friends. Like, I just don't think so.
It's but like,
I
guess cultures are dinner, different. We'll come.
Yeah, we'll
fine.
Come. And like,
if we pay for ourselves, great. If someone caters for the bill, great, too.
But is it also because you've not been invited somewhere, like maybe it's like a Kempinski or something, and the dinner is like 15,000 per person, and they're going around now, it's like, oh, everyone needs to now swipe for their 15K.
Wait, no, but definitely, what's a Kempinski is not 15,000.
Okay, if
it's nowhere near. But even if it was 15,000, that would be wild. Like 15,000, and we all came here, French.
Yeah.
Wink at me and tell me, hey, bring 50 G's for food. there are some you need to
okay, this is the last one I'm going to read, guys, because I know we are over an hour.
Oh yeah, this is a self-funded event if you want people to pay for their own bills.
I feel like that's still ambiguous. This is self-funded, it's very ambiguous. Okay, so on the episode still of our opinions, we talked about prenups and what we think about prenups. Would we ask someone to sign a prenup? And there's a king between Victor George who gave this comment, which I thought was really useful to share. He said, on the prenup issues, prenups are not only to protect wealth. That used to be the belief because of what we saw in celebrity divorces. However, it also includes protection against your partner's debt that they had before the marriage. Inheritance they might get, protecting your children if you came into the marriage with them. Some people even use it to include an infidelity clause. If you cheat, I get this amount of money from you. So prenups can have any number of
things. I know
the
infidelity one, but I didn't even think about the debt or like how you protect other people. I don't think that against the concept prenups, of prenups, even when people do it, I don't know if it's like, I wouldn't say that's such an offensive thing for someone to say. I don't think so.
Yeah.
As we get there, like is it more than 50% of people are divorcing? So, bro, it's just like saying, you know.
But that's in America. In Kenya, are we still divorcing?
Are we getting married?
And that's all we have for you today, folks. That's all we have. Yeah. Guys, thank you to everyone who leaves a comment. Yeah. I love
it. And especially the comments where it's like they teach us things. Like you guys update us on the law and like what's currently happening. Things that we might not know ourselves. So we really, really appreciate that. It helps us grow. It helps us like expand our view of the world. And also like now this whole party thing. I can tell you, I feel shook that this is this much of an issue for people. And see, that's a perspective I would never have thought of. Maybe me, I'll invite people for my next dinner. Kumba, people are coming, they're stressed. How dare I?
Because you have not said.
Because I've
you
not
don't
said.
Need to carry any money. Maybe at this point you need to be saying, do you need to carry any money? Or just be like, your transport is should be, will be your only financial responsibility. I don't know.
No, I catered to my birthday, but I didn't tell anyone. Like, let that be a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, but also you, when I see like you've invited somewhere, I'm just like, I know she's catering for it.
If I?
If you invite me to anyway, if you invite me like for a party, like that party, I wouldn't think that you expect us to pay.
Really?
Yeah.
No, reduce my expectation.
Yeah, because they were, in fact, was the one which you've put decor and what, and there's a buffet. It's just like, if she expected us to pay, she would have told us in advance and we would have all sent her money.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What the hell? This is new.
This is, yeah, it's true. But also, someone being like, guys, send me, all of you guys send me money so I can plan my birthday.
That's interesting.
It's just, yet another episode where we are at the end.
Guys, just have a picnic.
Baffled about this thing. Yeah,
let's have a picnic. But yeah, that is something which I really didn't see it in that way. But I'm glad that I have, because maybe there are things that you just need to be a bit more aware of.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for that. It's clear, guys. Definitely cater to your own party.
Definitely do or people don't invite anyone to your party. Or invite them all to Chicken Inn where you can afford to like pay.
Basically. Thing.
Yeah, basically.
But yeah, also, guys, on this, since you guys are such interesting commenters, give us, what's it? TMI, please talk about X. And not like something so niche. You know, like what kind of topics would you like us to talk about? Because someone made a comment about how some of our content is like the topics are around the same themes. And of course, we know the themes that you guys like. We see the
views.
We see the views. Mm-hmm. However, we also would like to touch on other topics that maybe we are not thinking about.
Yeah.
So if you have a particular topic that you think that would be really interesting to talk about, you can note it down in the comments below. We'll look through it and we'll make a list so we can be talking about some things like that in the next few episodes.
Exactly. And if there are any guests that you'd love for us to have, just like the ones that we mentioned, which we have mentally taken note of, and very soon we will have more guests, please do let us know, guys. We always want to create content that is relevant for you, but that is also interesting for us to talk about, which is most things, I would
say.
Most things. Thank you guys so much for watching this episode. Thank you for all your comments. Thank you for all your DMs. Thank you for all your support. We really appreciate you. We'll get back to you on the pay bill, buy goods issue.
Yeah.
Soon, after we've read your
comments
below.
After we've read your comments, then we'll know.
We'll get back to you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you guys.
Bye.
See you in our next one.